Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 18 of the K&M 495 Sportscast. Unfortunately, I'm not joined in studio with my co-host, Michael Reed, but he is in Ocean City. How you doing, bud?
Not in Ocean City because I'm not white trash. I'm in Bethany Beach, but I'm doing good. Sitting here on vacation. This is the most 2017 thing I've ever done, just podcasting outside in another state, and it's training camp's happening, so I'm pumped.
I just don't think it's a coincidence that they found a woman in the sand deceased while you're out on vacation, Mike. I think there's some real sketch with that.
Oh, I know. I did that. That
was you did. Crazy. You yeah. did that.
They'll never catch me. Wipe my fingerprints off clean. No, that was gross. Yeah.
Well, let's show everybody what jersey you got on, man. I want to know. Look at that. The yellow. Ooh, Jordan Reed jersey. Woo.
The Jordan Reed. I just tell people that it's a Mike Reed jersey.
It's a Mike Reed jersey.
So that's what I go with.
Yeah, the same for you guys. I see the resemblance. I could definitely
tell. Same body type. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm the only person I think who's been at the beach for like a week and hasn't gotten any more tan than ever. It's because I have to wear like SPF 75.
The fair skin. You just burn up like a crisp.
Yeah. I'm not even fair skin. I'm just white.
White people problems, man.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Jordan Reed. Jay Gruden today in his press conference said that there was no really development after Jordan Reed went and saw the specialist for his ankle or toe. And
so we're
still waiting. There is no timetable. They said either tomorrow or a week or so. So we still don't know. I don't know how you feel about this, but I'd rather him just not play at all during the preseason.
Oh, yeah, no, not at all. He's been in the NFL 4 years. This is his fifth year, right?
This is
his fifth year. He's never played a full 16 games, so he always has injury problems anyway. And this could be something that's going to linger, especially a toe for that could be kind of a pain in the ass. So I'd just rather him than come week one. He's not somebody who you're worried about. He's going to be fine regardless if he's playing. So I'd just rather him be healthy and get time in this offense that he knows, like, the back of his hand.
Yeah, like, and we know that from Pierre Garçon back in 2012 when he had turf toe after that first game against the Saints. It lingered all season. All season long.
Yeah, those toe injuries always seem to linger. So, like, if we can get it out of the way now, I'd just rather that happen than him play anything.
Yeah, there's no
reason. Might take him a little bit to.
There's no reason to make it worse in the preseason. You might as well just hang out. And if you are going to make it worse, I'd rather it happen during the regular season. Sit him as long as you need to. Rest him up.
Right.
No reason to stress it right now. We know what he's about. He doesn't need it. Let's just sit down and hang out with him.
He knows the offense. It's not like he's a free agent acquisition or a rookie or one of those young guys. He knows the offense. He knows what he's doing. So I'd just rather him not play.
And it's better for the whole offense as a group being able to orchestrate the offense without Jordan, because we've known for a long time now the offense runs through Jordan. And so if we can get some offense going without him and being able to do it against the number one defenses, I think it's going to really help them as a group. And so when Jordan comes in, it's just going to make them that much better.
Right. They have all these weapons, you know, and not having Jordan, because chances are at some point Jordan will miss a game or two regardless of the season. That's how he is.
Yeah.
He always has injury problems. So, yeah, being able to play without him and being able to play well, and especially getting somebody like Josh Doctson and Terrell Pryor accustomed to the offense, that would be huge.
And another guy who's been injured so far this training camp, who's been Jamison Crowder with his hamstring. Today there was a pure special teams practice that Jay scheduled. And Jamison Crowder was catching punts.
Right. So that's good. He's somebody, another person you're not really too worried about. You just don't want him to tweak it. You know, you don't want him to get hurt. And that, I think that's good. So far, I mean, there's no wood around me, so I'll just knock on my boner like always. But you can't risk any injuries, especially to Jordan Reed or Jamison Crowder. I mean, those are two proven offensive threats, so.
I mean, another That's offensive huge. Threat that we have is Terrell Pryor. That one-handed catch that he had in the practice. Catch. Wow.
Oh, God.
It just shows.
He has been tearing it up this training camp. Him and Doctson, especially Pryor, man. Pryor, just watching his work ethic on the offseason, still putting in crazy work. That guy's going to be a freak.
People are already on the boat of Terrell Pryor. I thought I was going to be able to have him as my sleeper in the draft and be able to get him a round up or so. And this
experts are saying they're ready to take him fairly high.
Yeah, and it's I'm in this one fantasy league, and you pick your keepers, and the way their keepers are really weird the way that they do it in this fantasy league. So the keepers you take are basically like the first full round, and so that like you don't like those players are already taken off. It's not designated for a certain round, and this guy like put it into the Facebook group for this fantasy league that he was changing his keeper to Terrell Pryor. I'm not kidding you. I was legit upset. I was cussing out loud. I was like, that's bullshit. Yeah. Like, that was my guy. He was my sleeper. Fucker.
Yeah, you can't just take him off the board. No. Dick. No. That's terrible.
I can't wait for this, dude, man. I can't wait for fantasy. It's finally coming up. And on Thursday, tomorrow, we have the Hall of Fame game. As lame as the Hall of Fame game is, it just shows it's the back. Start of the season,
Football's
man.
Football's back.
I can't. A week from tomorrow, we'll be watching the Redskins in the preseason versus the Ravens.
August
I can't wait.
10th against the Ravens. The Ravens. I'm so pumped for that game, too. Especially, I know it's a preseason game, but I was hearing that you can expect Kirk Cousins to get a lot of work this preseason for him to stay in longer because historically, or the last couple of years at least, that he's been the starter, he's taken a little while to get going. So they've been saying that they want to keep him playing as long as he can so he can kind of find a rhythm and start to get into that earlier in the season than about week three, week four when he usually picks it up. So they're saying that you could see a good amount of Kirk through this preseason, which is fine. As long as he stays upright, I'm fine with that.
Right, and Kirk said from last season that he took every practice in the summer and in training camp, he took it like it was a game. And by the time that he got to that first opening game, he said he was almost like worn out, that he was just mentally tired because of how serious he took all those practices. And this year, he said he's going to take a more lax approach. So if he's going to do that this season, I would love for him to get more reps in the preseason, just get him ready. And Kirk threw a couple picks yesterday, and I saw a couple media members tweeted out saying, like, this one fan was like, well, he better get that out of his system. I was like, whoa, wait. If he's going to make those risky throws, if he's going to risk throwing an interception, don't you want him doing it in training camp to gauge what he has and to gauge the wide receivers and the range they have?
Yeah. Yeah, he has to do – he has to get those out. I mean, Kirk, he's – Look at his touchdown interception ratio over the last few years. I mean, last year it was 25-12. The season before that it was like 29-11. Like he's not throwing interceptions in bunches like he used to. So I'd just rather him get these out of the way early. Every quarterback does that. Tom Brady throws interceptions. You can be worried about a quarterback if he doesn't throw an interception in the preseason and in training camp. Like you heard that about Marcus Mariota his rookie year. They're saying he didn't throw a pick. He hasn't thrown a pick all training camp. And then look at what he didn't do too well. And it's because he didn't get that mental rep of, oh shit, I can't do that. Oh, okay. This is what I can't do. It's being too cautious with it, being too careful with the ball. So you like to see Kirk take those chances.
Yeah, because you know Kirk is smart enough not to continue making those risks. He just wants to see what he's capable of. And once he sees that in those situations, not to force that ball in that position, he's not going to do that anymore. He's smart enough to learn from his mistakes. You can make jokes all you want about the Giants game, but that's behind us. The guy, that was probably the best thing for Kirk, as stupid as that sounds. For him to make that kind of mistake in a big game like that, he's not going to do it again. He's going to make sure that he is well prepared, especially when there's meaningful games late in the season.
Yeah. Did you see Kirk was mic'd up today? Today the video came out. It might have been yesterday or something. Yeah. He's so funny. He's so white.
Talking about Creed.
Yeah, we loved Creed, and he was so rapping white. Some song. And I love Kirk.
He's so funny, dude. He's awesome.
He's hilarious.
Dude, the injury bug is already starting to hit these teams in the NFL. The Chargers got hit with two huge injuries, and Mike Williams and Forrest Lamp just got carted off the field today.
Both of their two rookies, both players who they were super high on. That sucks. How did they say how bad any of their injuries were?
Well, Mike Williams is guaranteed out for the season. And
what did he do?
I have no idea, but I know that Forrest Lamp is out. Will Fuller from the Texans, the wide receiver, broke his collarbone. He's out indefinitely. But the whole thing with Forrest Lamp is they know it's season ending. It's a pretty big deal.
It's one of the – damn, that sucks. Forrest Lamp, he was somebody that I was thinking about the Redskins could possibly take in round one if, of course, Jonathan Allen and some people weren't there.
Yeah, they were high on him.
He's a good left guard. Yeah, oh, yeah. He's played – he gave Alabama fits at left tackle back in college his senior year. Alabama, they were saying that was hands down the best offensive lineman we faced. And they're a shitty team. So for them to say that, I mean, that was incredible. That's such a big blow, man. That sucks.
Right. And speaking of offensive linemen, I mean, our guy, Junior Gallette, getting after it this past week. And we talked about it last week. We wanted to see him improve. And my goodness, he's giving Trent fits. And Trent is one of the most athletic guys at the left tackle position. And he's getting around Trent. And he's doing well against Trent. And that means a lot. And so now is when I want Junior to kind of calm down a little bit. Don't get too carried away, man. I need you to stay healthy.
Oh, my God. the last thing we would need is for him to somehow have a third Achilles and it rupture.
Right.
Like he's only human with one, and it happens, because that would be so bad. I'm so excited to see what he can do, and he needs to stay healthy for him to get this chance again. He's been very fortunate that we've given him three separate chances.
Yeah, with Junior, we've talked about it before, him just giving us a third of what he's capable of is better than anything that we've had at that right outside linebacker, that pass rusher position. And then, you know, if he's giving Trent fits, he's going to be able to do really well against a lot of these left tackles he's going to be facing coming up here.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't get better than Trent. I don't care what you say. I know Tyron Smith's really good. Jason Peters is good. But Trent Williams is his own monster. Trent Williams is such a freak. And I know Tyron Smith's a freak. But Trent Williams is just a different breed, how big and athletic he is. So for that to be happening, that's good for Gallette. That's very good. And that will help our defense so much. I'm so excited for this defense, man. There's been some players that have really stepped up, and I am pumped. DJ Swearinger has been the alpha dog out there this training camp.
Yeah, I talked about it last week, saying I wanted the practices to be really intense, to be a dog fight between the offense and the defense, and that's exactly what was happening. DJ Swearinger is a very vocal guy out there, cheering on every time they make a play, and then it got Niles Paul into it on the offense. Every time they made a play, he was talking back to him. Then Kirk chimed in and said, yeah, that's what he said. And that's what you want to see. You want to see that competition at the smallest level in practice, because that is going to make your team so much better during the regular season. When you already have that competitiveness, that intensity, that I talked about, that thick cloud of intensity at Redskins practice.
Especially being DJ Swearinger coming over from Arizona, where in Arizona, he was kind of an afterthought, you know, behind like the Honey Badger and Patrick Peterson and Tony Jefferson in that secondary. Now he can go out there and he's actually the best player in our secondary, aside from Josh Norman, best safety. And that shows that he's a leader, and that he's just been dying to be the leader for so long for the last couple of years. And I think over in Arizona, he was probably a little bit butthurt that he couldn't be the kind of leader that he wanted to be.
Right. And I just want Swearinger to continue doing that. I want him to be on the field during the regular season, being so loud, being so boisterous, because in that back end, in that secondary, communication is key. And we've seen with Arizona, their secondary and their defense is very, very good. It's because they had great communication. And if they can continue doing that through the regular season, because you're going to have these intense matchups and late in games where you need the communication. You need guys talking to each other to make sure you're not out of assignment. And that's why I think Swearinger is going to be the Will Compton of the secondary. Getting those guys in position, getting those guys ready. You don't have to worry about Norman, but the rest of those guys, Breland, you have to keep an eye on, especially Kendall Fuller, who's also having a baller camp.
Yes, Kendall Fuller has been tearing it up. I am so pumped for Kendall Fuller right now. And this is huge too, especially being in the NFC East with Alshon Jeffrey and Dez Bryant and Odell and Brandon Marshall. And I mean, this our secondary is such a key to making some noise in this division. And if you can have a competent secondary that doesn't give up too many big plays like we have in the past, that'll be huge. So Kendall Fuller stepping up has just been amazing. It's been so good to hear.
Right.
Having a real offseason has done wonders for him. Apparently, he's been the MVP of the defensive side of the ball, they said so far.
Which he should have been. I mean, the guy was criticized so much last season. I mean, people were going on him, well, Kendall Fuller sucks. He's a bust. Well, he's going against Dez Bryant in the slot. There's a reason why they put Dez there, because he couldn't do it on anyone else. Breland, we know, mentally has the edge over Dez.
Breland matches up very well against Dez. He always has since his rookie year. And Norman, of course, is just Norman. They get into it really. And Dez is easy. I feel like once you get in Dez's head, you kind of win. And they were picking on Fuller. But this year, that's not going to be able to happen. Hopefully. I mean, Dez is a freak, but
hopefully still, not.
With the way Fuller's playing.
Sue has been sitting out the past couple days. DeShazer Everett has come in there at the safety position.
He's done really good as well.
Yeah, he's a guy who was a player's guy. The players last season, he was on the cusp of getting cut, and the players spoke out for DeShazer and told him, hey, keep this guy. This guy is the real deal. He's awesome. Keep him here. And hopefully that pays dividends. Yeah, I was honestly thinking, maybe he is. We have more depth on this team than we have had in years.
Right, a very long time. It's crazy to think about. At every position, too. Cornerback, all of a sudden, like, that was a weakness, and I know we're not going to get thin there this year, I don't think. You know, if we have a couple injuries or somebody doesn't play too well, we have a good amount of guys. We have like five or six guys who are going to make this roster and be very good players.
Right, and even at the outside linebacker position, where a lot of the teams in the NFL don't have a plethora of. We have a bunch of guys. A lot of things I was hearing from camp was Ryan Anderson. Ryan Anderson was doing really well with his run stopping on the outside. He was not giving up his position. Exactly. Right. But you kind of you lose the pass rush ability, but still having Preston Smith be the backup to Junior, which is I predict is going to happen the way that he's been playing. If having Preston Smith as a backup is not a bad thing whatsoever. I love Preston, and this is a guy who is a perfect backup, a guy who's going to give you 110%. And he just needs to learn a little bit more. He has a little bit of maturity to go. But, I mean, for the time being, I think that is a solid, solid backup to have.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, being five deep at the pass rusher position, especially Ryan Anderson, people will say he's not much of a pass rusher, and he really isn't, but he's somebody he gives 110% every play. I mean, he's going to get those effort sacks regardless.
Yeah.
So, I mean, being five deep, once Murphy comes back, he's going to face the 4-game suspension, but then being five deep at outside linebacker, I mean, that's huge.
Right.
It's going to be huge.
Jonathan Allen coming out this week saying that he's done really well. He's done well in the pass rush. He's done well.
Yeah.
But the one thing he wanted to do was get better at the run stopping, and that was the huge necessity for him and to come into here and solidify that defensive line with the run.
Right, right. And our run defense should be improved greatly, too. I mean, having Zach Brown is going to be huge.
Yep.
Having Zach Brown is going to be such a big pickup that I don't think a lot of people are really talking about. And on top of that, just having those linebackers who are so versatile, none of them only specialize in pass rushing.
Right.
You know, they can all stop the run as well. So that'll be – because we haven't been able to stop the run. And in a division with Ezekiel Elliott, you got to stop the run.
Now, speaking of Zach Brown, he gave a little lesson to Samaje Perine on Monday. Did you see that when he trucked him in the pass blocking drill?
Yeah.
Oh, man, he trucked the hell out of him.
Yeah.
Look, and I've heard some really good things. Cooley came out and said that he definitely thinks that P. Ryan's going to take over for Rob Kelly. Which everyone keeps saying that, but I honestly don't believe it's that easy because I don't.
Yeah.
I just don't because Rob Kelly has lost weight. His vision is incredible. And I just don't think, not yet. I just don't think this year is the time when P. Ryan takes the job. I think P. Ryan is going to be used mostly in red zone and the short yardage situations, those fall down yards that you need, those short yardage situations. And speaking what you wanted – what you saw out of the training camp that you really wanted to see was the offensive line. Spencer Long sat out yesterday with an illness, and apparently
Rouye came in and played
Chase
fantastic.
Rouye. Yes, they're saying that he hasn't skipped a beat. He's learning quickly, and quite possibly, what if Spencer moves back to left guard and they just put Chase at center?
So me and my brother were talking about that right there. Kills two birds with one stone, and
he's
fine. Then our offensive line is set because Spencer Long, he's a natural guard.
Yeah,
he is, and if that happened and Rouye comes in and plays fantastic and he overtakes the center position, then all of a sudden we can just kick Spencer Long out to left guard. All of a sudden we're set. We're good.
Yeah. And you put
I would be so excited.
You have those big, huge guys and Brandon Scherff and Spencer Long right on each side of him. I mean, that's not a bad thing. That's not a
no,
– that's not a
6'5", 320 on both sides of the center. I mean – That would be huge.
And I would absolutely love that. I would trust that more than I would trust Sean Laval being there at the left guard position.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think a lot of people back to the P. Ryan and Kelly thing, I think a lot of people just want P. Ryan to kind of overtake him because he's a sexier name, because he's younger and he did so well in college.
Yeah.
But you can't just count out Rob Kelly like that.
No.
Rob Kelly did so good last year, and Rob Kelly has proven that he's serious about it. He's lost weight. He's coming in when he's not supposed to. He's just doing the little things that you want to see, and I think that Rob Kelly is going to shut a lot of people up. But if they both do well, even better. Even better for us.
Yeah, for fantasy-wise, I think Rob Kelly he's not going to be a baller in fantasy-wise. He's going to get you a lot of yardage, but in fantasy, it doesn't really matter. I think P. Ryan is going to be the touchdown guy.
Right,
he's going to be the guy that gets you those, yes.
Yeah, because he's such a...
Because Rob Kelly has worked on in the offseason getting his pass-catching ability if you're in PPR leagues, but it's not a game-changer. He's not going to be the guy going out there getting all those passes. They're still going to use Chris Thompson in that role, but I think P. Ryan's not going to see that much. He's going to be goal line, red zone, and those short-yarded situations.
Right. Another person who has surprisingly apparently looked decent, granted he hasn't gotten much first-team reps and he won't, is Matt Jones. They said Matt Jones has done a great job in drills holding on to the ball. I know it's completely different during game day, during live action, and he probably won't even make the team.
Right,
but that's good to hear. He's at least stepping up.
I did hear that Samaje Perine fumbled the ball on the 5-yard line in one of the drills.
Yep.
Get that out of your system, young fella.
Yeah.
I'm not saying to your fumbleitis, but ball security is job security, my friend.
Yes, in the NFL, that's the biggest thing that can happen. Because look at Matt Jones. Matt Jones didn't do terrible last year. All of a sudden, Mm-hmm. Starts fumbling. Boom. There you go.
It loses us games, and we cannot sacrifice that anymore. We cannot keep sacrificing W's because of these turnovers. Yes, right. Call about Kirk and throwing picks and whatnot, but Kirk won us multiple games last year purely based on himself.
Right, just putting us in position to win and putting us in position to score and getting our defense off the field, keeping our defense off the field. I think another big thing is going to be in the red zone, having these two tall receivers. We talked about Terrell Pryor, but having Josh Doctson in there. And Josh Doctson, we talked about it last podcast where he did really well the first day of training camp. Yep. He has continued that, and he has looked fantastic.
He has. His hands are really underrated. I mean, the guy is in the end zone getting 2 feet down, catching it in the basket, no issues whatsoever. Yeah, he's going against the scrub corners, but still it shows that the quality of play is there. And the sky's the limit.
Doxson's done some good work against the first team defense as well. Yeah. At sometimes, just they said expect us to throw a lot of fades this year, and I can see that. I know Jay Gruden loves the fades.
Yeah,
I can see why. Doxson's leaping ability is 42-inch vertical. Pryor 6'4", 6'6", depending on who you ask.
You know, I just don't understand the fans criticizing the fades. Yeah, that was a stupid play call in that one game. It doesn't mean that we need to stop fades altogether.
Right, the fades are a great play.
No. You either throw the ball out of bounds or you give your big wide receiver the chance to jump over the corner and get the ball. I don't have a problem with it whatsoever. Right, I'd rather throw a fade than I would a slant route in the red zone where it's easily – the throwing lanes aren't as big. They're really tight and they can get easily intercepted. Keep throwing the fades.
Right, get your big pass catchers who are bigger than any corners in the NFL with outstanding jumping ability and superb athleticism. Give them a chance to get the ball. Give them a 50-50 ball. Guaranteed they'll come down with it because it's more than a 50-50 ball when that guy's jump. It just is. Yeah. So continue with that. I'm going to snooker. I'm not sure.
Doctson, I mean, sky's the limit for Doctson, you know? I mean, yeah, he might have an injury history, but the guy's upside is so high. Jay Gruden still doesn't know everything that Doctson can do. And I'm really intrigued to see how this works out. I mean, Doctson's catching long passes on Josh Norman, getting away from manipulating Josh Norman with his route running. I mean, we're not talking about Terrell Pryor. We're talking about a guy who sat out almost his entire rookie season and is coming up and doing it to one of the best corners in the NFL. I'm not saying top five corner, but he's up there in the top 10.
Yeah, he definitely is. He's somebody, too, who big receivers should have problems with because he uses his length so well. He's very athletic, and he's very smart, and he's a very heady player, especially a young player like Doctson.
Right.
And Doctson's done very well against him.
Right.
So that's been huge. I'm so excited to see how this offense works.
One of the biggest takeaways for me of training camp was hearing that Tom Sula's defensive line rotation has been so fluid, so consistent that they do
every day it's somebody different.
Yeah, exactly. And so they keep on every practice, they keep rotating the defensive line every, I think it's two or three snaps. And that is so crucial. You need that. You need the guys to stay with a lot of intensity at all times, and that's how you're going to solidify that run game.
In today's NFL, the defensive line changes so much. You see it every other play. Defensive linemen are coming in and going out, unless you have an Aaron Donald or a J.J. Watt.
Right.
And it's always different, just based on different packages, what the offense is doing. I mean, where you are in the field, it all depends. So that's so good to get these guys reps. And apparently, a lot of people have been playing very well in the defensive line as well. I mean, people like Phil Taylor, which is would be huge because he has all the talent in the world. He just needs to take up blocks and be a nose tackle.
Right, but
if he can do that, Joey Mabu.
We haven't heard good things about Stacy McGee or Terrell McClain, and that's kind of an issue I have.
Yeah.
I honestly think that Chris Baker would flourish in this system now under Tom Sula.
Yeah, definitely.
Because the one issue
John Allen across from him.
Right, and the one issue with Chris Baker was that he took off plays. It's because the guy was busting his ass so much that he was tired as hell by the third quarter because he was the only one working. And under this system, I think he would be perfect under this. He would be a pro bowler at the end of this season if he was sitting there getting this rotation in with John Allen and the rest of these guys that we have. I just think that was a huge mistake, and we are going to regret it.
We definitely. And a lot of people, we also got to remember, I know that we paid them well, Terrell McClain and Stacy McGee, but they're not all-world talents. They're not studs. But they're good players. They're depth players that for you to have, and I mean they can definitely be in a rotation, but that's why we're building this rotation with all of these different defensive linemen and seeing what they can all do. So I'm excited to see, but I do agree, definitely, obviously letting Baker go was a mistake.
I think we're going to – I think the other side of that defensive line, besides John Allen and the other two spots there, the D end and the nose tackle, I think those are going to be huge liabilities this season. The fact that we haven't heard anything about them, we haven't heard that they've done well, that they won some matchups one-on-one or anything, we haven't heard one bit from that, and that is a huge issue.
It's been hard, too, though, because I think that they've only worn pads once or twice so far in this training camp. And I know that, I mean, obviously, they're the linemen. They're still hitting each other. But once the pads come on and it's kind of live action, we'll get a better look at the defensive line this preseason as opposed to training camp.
Right. And what they've had today, Jay gave them a strictly special teams practice because the past two days they've been straight pads. And it's been intense.
Apparently, Dustin Hawkins did pretty well today, which is good to hear because apparently he has – missed a few field goals from over 40 yards.
Oh yeah, the 48 yarder. He missed like 3 2 days ago.
Yeah, right.
He needs to, because that's one guy. For some reason, kickers here in Washington do so terribly. Go back to David Akers, Sean Sweezum, Kai Forbath, all these guys who are good kickers, but for some reason cannot do well here. Exactly.
Yeah.
A lot of people say that FedEx Field's grass is so bad that it hampers kickers. And it proves it because of how many kickers have been here and have gone on to be great kickers other places, but just can't do it here.
Right. Right. And I mean, it's especially true because I mean, at RFK, we had a kicker win the MVP one season. I mean, we had some very good kickers back in those days, and then FedEx Field comes along and we can't find a kicker to save our life. So
it's all Dan Snyder's fault, man. Let's just blame him.
Call a spade, man. You would think that after RG3 twisted his knee that 2012 playoff game, that would right there, he would have been like, all right, we're getting new turf. We're getting everything.
But that doesn't do it.
Didn't want to spend the money.
A lot of the talk over the past week has been that Terry McAuliffe, the governor of Virginia, was saying that Virginia is going to be the home for the Redskins, the new stadium. And people were putting out a poll like, oh, would you still be a Redskins fan if they moved to Virginia?
Why would I stop being
a fan because they moved to Virginia, dude?
Danny Ruye said that people would start becoming Ravens fans. Who the hell? What kind of Redskins fans are you talking to?
Yeah,
that would never happen.
We are some of the most passionate people. I mean, are you telling me we're going to stop going because it's in Virginia now? I mean, if it's in Richmond.
Just as close.
If it's in Richmond, I completely understand. But if it's right there in Loudoun County, in the most expensive part of Virginia, that's Northern Virginia, it's not that far away. It really isn't.
And plus, they're going to keep it near D.C.
Right.
They have to. I mean, that's just how it is.
And I've seen like 60% of the fans going to FedEx Field are Northern Virginia residents. That's where a lot of the money comes from. And so them going to Northern Virginia, it would be nothing but smart. It's genius.
It makes sense. Right.
Tyson's Corner is blowing up. It'd be a perfect spot. It'd be a great spot. There's not that much crime. It's not a shitty area. It's a great spot for them to build
something. There's a metro near there.
Right, exactly. You're not walking a mile and a half to the stadium.
Right. It makes sense. They have to do that. I would not, even, no matter where they went in Virginia, nobody's going to not be a Redskins fan because of it.
Right.
Trust me, I don't care about going to games anymore. I don't care. We're still going to get the coverage. I don't care.
I'm still going to go to games. I don't care. I know everyone hates Dan and everything, but it's just a different feeling when you go to those games. You know, I just love it. I hate it.
Hopefully the new stadium will be better, because if it's anything like FedEx, I'll hate it. But, I mean, I'm just one of those people. I'd rather watch a football game at home than go to the game, just because I get into it so much with people. So
I'm not going to change. I love going to the games. I absolutely love it. I love being so close down. I love seeing a lot of people talk about, I would rather be at the nosebleeds than I would in the lower level. And what I mean by that is, I'll never forget, I went and saw a preseason game, and it was back when we had Jim Haslett as a defensive coordinator. And I was up in the nosebleeds. I remember seeing that the two safeties, they were in a two-man, and the cover two-man, and the safeties at the last second, right before the snap, I saw them rotate to a cover three. And it was so cool to see that happen live.
Yeah.
To see that happen, where something you wouldn't see on TV.
Oh, yeah.
But to see it happen, you're like, wow, that's so awesome. That is cool to see that they're actually implementing this game plan and seeing it happen during the game. It's just not the same that you would get at the watching it on TV, personally.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You see all sorts of stuff that you can't see on TV. I agree. I love that part of it. I really do. So, I mean,
we got to keep up the home field advantage this year. I mean, we had a very good record last year at home. We got to keep that up. That's the one thing I've always had an issue with, is that we have not had home field advantage here at FedEx Field. A lot of teams have come in.
I know.
They have a bunch of fans there. But if you start winning at home, more fans are going to start going.
Right. Steelers overtook the Redskins.
Yeah, that was stupid, terrible towels. Who brings a terrible towel to a preseason game? How gay is that? It's stupid. You have nothing else to do but carry around a towel and bring it to a preseason game.
Even last year, week one, on Monday Night Football, that there was nothing but Steelers fans there. It was just, it was embarrassing. And I understand Pittsburgh's semi-close to D.C., and Pittsburgh has a big fan base everywhere, but Jesus Christ, like, that can't happen. That can't happen. And I think a lot of it is just because people legitimately don't like FedEx Field.
I think it's like more than that. I think there's so many people in this area that when you like, if we lived away, like right, if we lived in Minnesota or some weird other city, right? And if the Redskins came
Green
to play
Bay.
There, right? If the Redskins came to play there, I would travel 2 hours and stay the night in that area just to see the Redskins come play there.
100%.
And that's how that's why I feel all these teams, all the Dolphins, like everyone talks about, all these teams come here like, oh yeah, there's so many of us here, blah blah blah. You guys don't have many fans. Well, yeah. It's because
DC is such a
there's so many people here. There's right. so many of all
so
over
diverse.
The all over the country. All yeah. over the country. It's not like it used to be back in the 70s and 80s when RFK was filled with Redskins fans. Filled with it. We were also winning then.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of it's with the product that they put on the field.
Right.
I mean, over the last few years you have seen more fans come and come and come. And it's because we've been a better team over the last 2 years. So hopefully we can continue that trend.
And it's not like it's just FedEx Field. I mean, we talk about this with every sport in the DC area. With the Nationals, everyone complaining about a lot of Cubs fans were there during that series. A lot of Mets fans were there during that series. With the Wizards, we talked about how when Kobe was there's a bunch of Lakers fans cheering on Kobe.
Yeah.
Caps, you don't really worry about that because the Caps have been so good for so long that it's nothing but Caps fans.
Yeah.
But in three out of the four, it's the same thing as the Redskins at FedEx Field. So we can't really sit here and say it's only the Redskins because of how bad they've been. It's all over the area.
Oh, right. Definitely. I agree 100%, especially with the Wizards. That's huge. That's how it is. Especially Redskins games are weird. And I know every NFL stadium probably has this, but like Redskins games, I'll go to a Redskins Rams game and there's a bunch of Cowboys fans. It's just like always opposing team fans, like always Cowboys fans, even though they're not playing. And it's so annoying. And I do think a lot of that has to do with just DC being so diverse and people coming from all over to live in DC and work in DC. So yeah, that's definitely true.
There was an Eagles fan at Redskins training camp on the second day.
Yeah.
Why are you at Redskins training camp wearing an Eagles jersey? Do you have a job? Do you have nothing else to do but go to a Redskins training camp and wear your fan like your
right.
If I lived in Philly, if I lived in Dallas, if I lived, I would not be going to their training camp repping the Redskins. I got better things to do. What do I have to sit here and like rep my team at another? I don't care about what's on the field. I don't care about what you guys are doing. Why would I be there?
A lot of those people just want attention, just want to start shit. It probably comes down to them having some sort of mental disorder or something. You see that one what signed to Bruce Allen about Kirk Cousins? It said something like his name is Kurt or his name is Kirk,
not Kurt,
not Kurt. He's a quarterback.
I thought that was hilarious.
How do I feel?
And now they're gonna ban posters from training camp now because of it. Just like they did at FedEx Field when that guy made
the... Really?
Well, I'm sure it's going to happen. I mean, they did the same thing at FedEx. They did the same thing at FedEx.
Yeah, they get so buttered. Their egos are so fragile.
I actually knew the guy that made that poster that said, Dan Snyder, please sell the franchise. And after that, they stopped all posters. I remember who it was. I know the guy. I used to work with him.
Oh, yeah. I remember when that happened. Yeah, I remember when that happened. That was a big deal because it was on national TV and everybody saw it, which everybody feels that way. Nobody likes Dan Snyder. Nobody does.
When you're suing, when you try to come out and say that you're a fan and it's purely fan based, that you love the Redskins ever since you were a kid, but you're coming out and you're suing the fans and you're coming out and upcharging the parking and you're upcharging the concession stands and the ticket prices, you think that the fans are going to be cool with you? No, man. You're not a fan. You're just, you just want to make money.
Yeah, they're ridiculous. But we talk about Bruce and Dan all the time. I hate those guys. I hate them. They're going to end up like that girl in Ocean City if they don't watch themselves.
Oh my goodness, rest in peace. That was such a terrible
story. I don't know who she
such
was.
A terrible story. Yeah. But before I know,
she was like a 30-year-old from Texas. Ugh.
Yeah, it was bad. She was there with her family. She disappeared at 2 in the morning, walking on the beach, and she probably passed out. And gosh, that's just such a shitty story. But to bring, not to really like brighten things up, but last night, Max Scherzer hits a home run, celebrates, goes out, throws one warm-up pitch. That warm-up pitch sails and hits the backstop. Yep. He immediately tells Dusty, I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah.
They lost a 6-run lead. 6 runs.
Yeah, I know. And we thought that we saved the bullpen. But
well, none of those new guys came in.
No. Yeah, I know. I'm just talking shit. Apparently, though, Scherzer was saying that his neck was hurting him that whole day, like he had slept on it wrong or something. And it was just one of those
really
odd feelings. Yeah. So, and then he did that, and he just felt it a little bit more than he should have. And he was just like, nope, not even risking it, which is smart. But yeah, it was cool to see Max get his first home run. He was so surprised when he hit that. Did you see his face?
Yeah. And then they gave him the silent treatment when he came back into the dugout. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah. That was, how about Gio the other day? Almost throwing a no-hitter so close on his good friend's birthday.
That's so special. That's so special for him. And they were best friends.
I wanted him to get that so bad. I know.
And I was watching it happen.
It's the ninth.
Yeah. It's too bad. But I mean, what a tribute to Felix, you know?
Right.
That was such a awesome thing for him, for Gio, to be able to do. Because you know, he was really distraught after that happened. I mean, that's his boy.
They were best friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were best friends. And Gio's from that area. I know that he had a lot of family there, and it was definitely important to him. You wanted him to see it so bad. And then I knew as soon as it was coming into the eighth, I was like, shit, something's going to end up happening here in the ninth. And of course, first batter up hits a single, and I was just like, God damn it, in the ninth inning.
Yeah, it was the first batter, too.
He did good, though.
He did. Right. And that's nothing. That's all you can ask for, because with our bullpen, if you go 9 innings and with no hitter going into 9, you can't ask for much.
Right, exactly. So that was something good to see. It would have been such a cool story, but it's still good for Gio.
And the Nats went up and traded right before the deadline, went and got Brandon Kinsler from the Twins, and then they recalled A.J. Cole. They recalled A.J. Cole. Yeah. And that's just another guy. So they got 3 relievers now, and I think that is going to be really crucial. And they did the moves that we wanted. They went also got Howie Kendrick, who last night was 5 for 5. So that's a guy who can go into that. We've been talking about that top half of that lineup and that batting order, and he's a perfect guy for the 2 spot.
Yeah, Howie Kendrick, he's a career .290 batter. I mean that was huge to get him, especially, I mean, just with the types of players that we have, just with all the injuries that have happened. Another person who's been tearing it up has been Defoe.
Yes.
Defoe's played very well. I'm very happy for him. He's played very well. Kinsler's, that was huge. We knew that we're going to do one more move with our bullpen. Luckily, we didn't have to give up any big prospects or anything. No. Kinsler comes in with like a 2.78 ERA this year or something. He's very good. So we got 3 legitimate players for that bullpen, and that should help. Work wonders,
right? And he can come and play tonight. He wasn't available last night, which we had the same guys, Albers, Grace, all those guys. There's a reason why we went out and got those 3 guys, because it's the bullpen is it can't be fixed without those 3 guys, and that's going to really, really help us out. And I've actually heard discussions about your theory about what we had a couple weeks ago about possibly Strasburg coming in as a reliever, almost as a long-term reliever, and that's something.
Really?
That's something that's being discussed right now.
I really hope not. But I could definitely see the benefits for it, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be great, especially with his injury problems. But, damn, you know, what a way. I think a little bit later in his career, that would be perfect. But right now.
We have to be so grateful for that 13-game lead, because if we didn't have that, we wouldn't be able to sit Strauss for so long. We wouldn't be able to sit Trey Turner and Jason Worth for so long, who them going out and trading for Howie Kendrick kind of shows that maybe something's going on with Worth that we didn't know about. I mean, they've been mysterious with it, but I mean, maybe there's something to this, and we don't know how long that guy's going to be out for.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I definitely agree on that. That's not a good sign, but who better to get Howie Kendrick, man? He's very good. People forget he was a very good player for a little while. You know, when he was, it was with the Dodgers where he was really good. He's a very good player. So, I mean, with the talent we have here, you can just plug in some of those players who are veterans and let them play.
Am I the only one that's kind of relieved that the Dodgers didn't get Zach Britton and they just got Yu Darvish. I know Yu Darvish is a very good starting pitcher, the guy who's going to do a lot of things for them. But I was worried about them getting Zach Britton, I forget the other closer's name. God dang it. But if they were to have both of those guys, I mean, they would shut down everything. And Yu Darvish, I'm not really that sold. I think he can still get hit. But, I mean, at least you have a chance in the later innings.
Right, right. Yu Darvish, he's been a very good player in the past. And I mean, Dodgers, they're really the only team that I'm worried about out in our division. So, who knows what's going to happen with that?
Exactly, exactly.
They're the one team I'm really worried about.
Of course. And the Cubs are flying up, dude. The Cubs are coming up. Let's get into fantasy, our fantasy segment of the week. A lot of guys that we personally can see the Redskins and how Josh Stocks and Pryor are going to be sliding up our boards. But let's go over some guys around the league, some big impacts that are happening around the league. Will Fuller, for example, breaking his collarbone. And that's going to be an issue for Houston. Now, I thought that Will Fuller was going to be able to take some of the pressure off of DeAndre Hopkins there in Houston. Doesn't seem it's going to be that way anymore.
Right. You saw that last year with Will Fuller. As soon as he came in there, he was such a good deep threat for them. And now that they maybe kind of could have had some stable quarterback play, that sucks to see. So that's terrible. He broke his collarbone. Another injury, Sterling Shepard. Shepard got hurt for the Giants. He was crying on the field. I thought that he tore his Achilles or his ACL. Turns out he just had a low ankle sprain.
Yeah.
So I guess good news for the Giants in fantasy, but I mean, that's funny as shit. They were making it seem like I was bad. I got an update about it, and I don't even fuck with the Giants. Yeah, so.
Sterling Shepard was a guy that I was considering a sleeper. I was really looking forward to getting him out there because who are you going to cover? You can't cover Sterling Shepard. You got Brandon Marshall and ODB out on the outside. Sterling Shepard's going to run wild.
And Evan Engram at tight end. Yeah, who knows? Sterling Shepard, he's a very good player. He's a very natural slot receiver, so that would have been very interesting to see. Or it will be, you know, once he comes back, it didn't look like it was too bad.
And then the Chargers losing their rookie wide receiver, Mike Williams, so now it leans back on. Tyrell Williams' stock is now going to skyrocket, who a guy at the back end of the last season really did well for the Chargers after Keenan Allen went down.
Yeah, Tyrell Williams did very well. Yeah. Keenan Allen, man, he's another person. He's lost the last 2 years of injury. They say that he looks really good right now, but I mean,
that happens every year. Yeah.
Right. And that was sad to see because he was somebody who I was high on last year and I picked him and mid rounds. And he was obviously he just got hurt again. That sucks, man.
And another guy in the Chargers that I consider a sleeper there at the tight end position. I got two sleepers. Hunter Henry. That guy is going to get huge PPR advantages this year. We both talked about Antonio Gates is on his last leg. He's not going to be lasting much longer. And I think it's about time that Hunter Henry go in there and take over the reins for this Charger offense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Hunter Henry, now that Mike Williams is out and Tyrell Williams is really their only number one receiver because Keenan Allen, he'll probably get hurt again. He's delicate.
Let's just be honest.
His knees are weak, but Hunter Henry's going to play huge. When he was healthy last year, when he was playing, he did very well. He was putting up some insane numbers for a few games there.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he's going to be a guy that you have to consider looking at late rounds around the 14th, 15th round, going to get maybe a backup. That's a guy who can give you a lot of points for PPR points later in the season. If you don't trust it right away, if you want to go grab somebody and have some reassurance there, because if you go up and get Jordan Reed or you go up and get Travis Kelce, these guys who have injury concerns, get Hunter Henry in that back end. That way you know you have that safety blanket there because you know he's going to have his chances with Phillip Rivers back there slinging the rock.
Right, right. Well, if I end up getting Jordan Reed, I am making sure that I get Vernon Davis in some way.
Right.
If Reed goes down, Vernon Davis can still put up some good numbers. And that's the one good thing that we do have going. We do have a very deep tight end position, so that'll be interesting.
And a guy I'm very high on at the running back position is Lamar Miller. I mean, that is a guy in Houston where O'Brien loves to run the ball. He pounds that rock, and Lamar Miller is going to have his chances, especially now with Will Fuller being out, not being able to trust Tom Savage or not being able to trust Deshaun Watson. Lamar Miller is going to get a bunch of points. A guy I'm not that high on down in Miami is Jay Ajayi. I'm just not bought into him whatsoever.
Yeah, neither am I. Not yet. I know he had those few big games last year.
Yeah.
And he ran wild, but Miami, I know losing Brandon Albert, I mean, they traded him, and then putting Laremy Tunsil to his natural position of left tackle. They still do have a very good offensive line, but they're a team that gets hit with injuries on the offensive line, it seems like, every year. So now their depth is going to be a little bit shit out. Albert, of course, he ended up getting traded to Jaguars and he retired. But Ajayi, he's – I don't know. I'm the same way on him. I'm not necessarily sold that he's, you know, a top 10 back in the NFL right now. But, hey, I do like listening to him talk because he's a black British guy. That's always cool to see.
Right. And another running back that does really well for fantasy the past two seasons, won me a championship 2 years ago, in Devontae Freeman. I think this is the year. I'm a huge Tevin Coleman guy. I think this is the year that Tevin Coleman takes over those reins. I think something might happen to Devontae Freeman. He's getting a little bit older. His body's getting a little bit more taxed. I think this is the year that you, in the later rounds, around 7 to 8 to 9 is when you can go get Tevin. And if he's your starter, you have a big issue. But if you have him on that back end, if you have him as a backup for you, I think that is a legit spot. Just sit him there. He's going to get you some value later on in the season. I really believe that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Tevin Coleman, even with Devontae Freeman, he still did so good last year. I mean, but I definitely see him overtaking him. He's just bigger. He's taller. I am excited to see how some of these rookie running backs play. I'm excited to see Leonard Fournette and Dalvin Cook out in Minnesota.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook apparently is doing well right now.
Right. Did you see Christian McCaffrey's highlight against Luke Kuechly?
No, I did not. Did he shake him?
Oh, yeah.
I
mean, of course. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Twice on the same play. They had no pads, so McCaffrey runs out into the flat. Kuechly's covering him. McCaffrey catches the ball, just gives him a quick turnaround. Kuechly slides down low, and he still stays with him after that. And McCaffrey turns upfield. All of a sudden, Kuechly's in front of him, and McCaffrey just shakes him real quick and just dips up the sideline. And everybody was like,
"Yeah, white guys are not supposed to do that.
They're not supposed to." And it was a white on white crime. It was not.
He's bioengineered, man. He's not supposed to be able to do that. There's no way.
He's not.
I just don't think over the course of the season, I don't think that Christian McCaffrey is going to be able to hold up health wise. I think he's going to get hit.
I mean, him and Jonathan, I think that they'll look for Jonathan Stewart. But McCaffrey is going to get those touches, and he can catch, he can run the ball, he can return kicks, he can return punts. So he's going to get a lot of touches, and his body type for that is kind of concerning because he's thinner, he's athletic, but he's not built to take that much punishment.
Right. I think using Christian McCaffrey on a maybe once every three down basis is perfect for him. I don't think that he's not going to be your bell cow. He's not somebody you can give the rock to up the middle on every play. He's going to get hit. And like you just said, the best times that he does when he is at his best is when you send him to the outside. You give him space to maneuver. You give him space to move. That's when he does well. But when you are inside those tackles, yeah, he's a small guy. You're not going to be able to see him. But when you do get to him, you're going to hit him pretty good, and there's a good chance he's not going to get up from it.
Right. That was always his concern when he was at Stanford, was he ran the ball so much and he doesn't have the body type to deal with that kind of beating.
Mike, your connection is so bad right now. You keep going in and out.
Really? Hell yeah. It's tight.
But But you brought him up, Dalvin Cook, and we can't forget about Leonard Fournette. You can't really call Leonard Fournette a sleeper because he was a top 10 pick at the running back position. But that Jacksonville offense is always overshadowed, especially Blake Bortles back there. And they want to protect Blake because they know they can't put the whole offense on his shoulders. Leonard Fournette has the opportunity to be a huge, huge PPR and fantasy upside for everyone involved. Just don't go AWOL. Don't get him too high. If he falls to you, if no one else wants him and you're in like that back end of that sixth, seventh round and for some reason Leonard Fournette is still there, go get him. He's going to get you some points. He's a very good running back for that position, but do not overdraft him. Do not draft him too early when there's other players available.
And it's going to be tempting for that to happen too, just because you saw what Ezekiel Elliott did last year and what Todd Gurley did his rookie year. So everybody's looking for the next rookie running back who's going to come in and take the lead by storm. And if anybody can do it, it isn't Leonard Fournette. And that offense, I mean, with Blake Bortles, they have so many weapons. The offensive line's still questionable, but Blake Bortles back there, I mean, everybody's just going to be king on Leonard Fournette.
Hey, call me a homer, all you want. But in that back end, in that 14th, 15th round, Josh Doctson is sitting there. He is going to be a guy you need to go get. You're talking about the 14th, 15th round. You're not looking for this guy to carry your whole team, but you can sit him on the bench and let his numbers speak for themselves. Because when this season comes around, he is going to put up some big numbers. I mean, we talked about he's doing work on Josh Norman. He's doing work on our whole secondary. And if he can do it to them, if he can do it to Josh, he can do it to anybody.
Since I've been down here, I bought a few different fantasy football magazines, and a lot of them do say that a sleeper wide receiver is Josh Doctson. So he is definitely starting to get some national attention. So hopefully our secret's not out of the bag.
And another guy from last year's draft that you cannot sleep on is Kevin White. I understand that Mitch Trubisky and I understand that Mike Glennon aren't that much, but I mean, this is a guy who can come in right away and give you some fantasy numbers because they have to give the ball to somebody, right?
Right. If he's healthy, and I know he's been iffy the last 2 years because, I mean, just missing all this time. But now that Alshon Jeffrey's gone, if he's healthy, he could definitely put up some numbers.
Cameron Meredith is another guy I'm very high on, a guy who last season at the end of the season was doing really well for the Bears, was putting up some big numbers in PPR leagues.
Yeah, right, right. He's somebody – he's interesting. It's always interesting to see how the Bears – are going to play out with their receiving corps because they have so much talent all the time. And it's always these big, tall guys.
Yep.
And I mean, like Alshon and before that, Brandon Marshall. And then now they have Kevin White and all these people. So it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, I don't like any of the situations out there in Chicago. I think that they're going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. But
right.
Somebody's going to emerge from that and get a lot of targets.
Right. A guy that is old at the running back position, which I hate, but he's been falling in the later rounds, and 9th, 10th round is Matt Forte, a guy that I just feel like if you need a backup, if you need a backup to come in there and just give you a little bit of a good feeling about your running back position, I think Matt Forte would be perfect for you there. He's not going to blow you away, but if you need a guy to slide in for your bye week, I think Matt Forte would be perfect for you there.
Yeah, Matt Forte, I haven't heard anything about it. I completely forgot that Matt Forte existed for a little while.
And Bilal Powell's a starter, but you know Matt Forte, he's really good out the backfield catching the ball, and in PPR formats, that's what you're looking for.
I'm very excited to see how Adrian Peterson and Marshawn Lynch do.
Right.
It'll be, especially Marshawn Lynch, that'll be very interesting to see. It's also going to be very weird to see Adrian Peterson in a New Orleans jersey.
Right.
So this is going to be very interesting, but if AP can, if either one of those, they're both set up for, right, they're set up to succeed.
Right.
With those quarterbacks, with those offenses, they should both be fine, but it just depends on what player you get. I mean, they're old now.
Right. With Marshawn, you know you're going to get that fire. You're going to get that passion. He's going to run the hell out the ball.
It's just, can he do it?
Yeah. I mean, he showed it in Seattle, even with a really bad offensive line.
But he's taken a year off. And I know that he's going to be in shape, but eventually some people just lose it, you know?
Right.
Like MJ came back, he was still in shape. He wasn't that good with the Wizards.
The one upside for Marshawn is, yes, Seattle had Doug Baldwin and Russell Wilson, but they didn't have like a powerful passing offense, right? But when you look at Oakland, it's going to really space things out for Marshawn. He's really going to have some good opportunities to run in those with only having six in the box and not eight like usual.
Right, especially with that offensive line. That's light years ahead of any offensive line that he had in Seattle. So I'm very excited to see how that works. Another person who I'm excited to see is going to be Michael Thomas of the Saints, he does in year two. He's athletic.
Yep.
Apparently Redskins were very high on him, and there was rumors that we were going to take him in the first round.
Instead of Doctson.
Really liked him. And we ended up going with Doctson, but Michael Thomas, how about him last year?
Right. I'm already five steps ahead of you. One of my sleepers of the wide receiver position is a guy I've been very high on for the past couple of years, is Willie Snead. Now that Brandon Cooks is gone, Willie Snead is going to see so many more snaps. And you know Drew Brees, if you're playing in PPR formats, you know Drew Brees is going to sling that rock as much as he can because you know Ingram's injury history, Adrian Peterson. Willie Snead's going to get a lot of opportunities here.
Right. I'm also excited to see what Devontae Parker can do this year because Devontae Parker has all the athleticism in the world. He's got the size and he plays with Jarvis Landry, who's very good. I just want to see what he can do now that this is basically year two since he lost almost all of year one and he didn't play much, but this is going to be, now he's entering his third year technically. So, but he doesn't have the wear and tear of a normal third year pro. So this is going to be very interesting to see. It just all comes down to Ryan Tannehill.
I
don't trust Tannehill.
Yeah. For some reason, I just don't trust Tannehill at all. I had Jarvis Landry last season.
Good.
I had Jarvis Landry last season and then Kenny Stills came up and just stole all of his touchdowns from him.
I just
don't trust Tannehill at all, honestly. Another wide receiver that is big time, that has the ability to be a top 24 pick in the next year's draft, is a guy that, yeah, he has injury concerns, is Sammy Watkins. He is going to be the number one reliable piece right there for Tyrod Taylor up in Buffalo, and he could give a lot of points there in PPR.
If you think about it, Sammy Watkins is one of the most talented wide receivers in the NFL. He was taken in a draft ahead of Odell Beckham Jr. and ahead of Mike Evans, just because he's so athletic, just because he was so good. He's so naturally talented, and he just hasn't had a good situation out in Buffalo. But if you can get that boy the ball and he can get his head right and play, he's a fucking football player. He's very good.
And I think Tyrod is just very underrated for what he does. I mean, I'm a Virginia Tech guy. I'm biased. I don't care. I just think that he is a solid quarterback, and he's going to get the ball to Sammy as much as he can. And with that dominant running game, teams are going to be worried about stopping that running game. I think Sammy Watkins is going to be able to run wild a little bit.
Yeah, I hope so. Sammy Watkins is somebody who I always wanted to cheer for. He was so fun to watch at Clemson, and he's so good. He's like a perfect wide receiver. He's just got all the physical attributes. He's got to put it together.
Yeah, he really does. He really does. I'm really excited to see how this division wraps up for the NFC East, especially with fantasy. I mean, there's the fantasy upside in the NFC East is huge, is gigantic, with Brandon Marshall there, with the Cowboys, with I'm never going to draft Dez Bryant. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's all biased. I just don't trust Dez. I'm not going to draft him ever in my life. I might draft Jason Witten in like the 16th round if I need a backup tight end, but that's about it.
Right.
But this NFC East, with nothing but powerful guys in the fantasy.
The Eagles have so many people that could be good. I mean, with Alshon Jeffrey and then Jordan Matthews and now LeGarrette Blount, Carson Wentz could take a big step forward, even though I don't think he'll be much of a fantasy quarterback. It's still, I mean, and then, of course, all the firepower on the Redskins. Like, there's so much in this division. I'm so happy that football is back in the NFC East.
Right.
Such a good division.
A wide receiver that won me the championship last year is Doug Baldwin, a guy I'm so high on. I take him over Brandon Cooks. I take him over Sammy Watkins. This guy, Doug Baldwin, is just a straight-up baller. Him and Russell Wilson just understand each other. And if you're looking in PPR formats, if you're looking just for the receptions, Doug Baldwin is your guy.
Yeah, Doug Baldwin, he's really, I mean, Jimmy Graham kind of emerged a little bit last year. He kind of came back to what he was. But other than that, I mean, Doug Baldwin is the guy in Seattle.
Right.
He's Russell Wilson's guy. So, and that offense, I know their offensive line is shaky. They don't have much of a running game right now, but that offense always does very well.
Right.
At least decent. So he's somebody you should definitely try to target.
And another guy you should target, you cannot forget about him. He had the most most receptions last year than he has in his entire career, and Larry Fitzgerald out in Arizona. It's the number one target for Carson, a guy you know is going to work his tail off, and he's going to get you some very good points.
He just won't go away.
He won't.
He's like a bad rash, but he's so good.
He is so good. He's a constant pro, an awesome guy. He just can't sleep on him.
Right. It all depends. I mean, regardless, he's still going to put up his stats. Larry Fitzgerald, he's just too good. But Carson Palmer, it's going to be interesting to see, because he's always had those years where he sucks and then he bounces back and does really well. But now it's to the point where he's old, very old, and he's very brittle. If he can bounce back at all and even be a mediocre quarterback for Arizona to go far.
Yeah, let's talk about overrated guys, especially in this fantasy. It's going to be stupid for me to say. A lot of people aren't going to agree with me, but is Rob Gronkowski. I think that he is getting drafted way too high up there in that borderline first round to early second round. I think that is way too high for Rob, with the injury history, with everything going on with him, with all the weapons now that New England has with Brandon Cooks, Julian Edelman. I just don't think that you can do that in that first round. There's so much more talent there. There's so much more points. Yes, the upside for Rob is huge. I just can't stick myself there and pick him there, giving up those picks.
For me, yeah, it's somebody that we talked a little bit about earlier. It's Dez Bryant. Dez, he had a lot of touchdowns last year, but he hasn't had over 1,000 yards the last two seasons. He's kind of just going to end up getting – his workload is going to decrease the more that Ezekiel Elliott gets the ball and the more that he's in play. There's just not going to be enough balls to go around. And, I mean, really, he's put up a lot of touchdowns over the last 3 years or so. But other than that, I mean, he just – I don't know. Dez Bryant's somebody who scares me, because eventually it's going to stop. and his yardage is already stopped, and he's not the player that he once was. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with him.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. With that running game, it's going to ease stuff up for him. But you saw people like Cole Beasley really come up in the fantasy world.
Exactly.
And he was even starting for some teams in that flex, or even in the second wide receiver spot, Cole Beasley was getting there because everything was open for him underneath. I just don't trust. Right. I just don't trust Dez, man. I'm sorry. I just don't like him.
Neither do I. I can't trust him at all. He beats his mom too. It's like, right. Come on, man.
Right. With my draft philosophy specifically, I do not draft a quarterback until after the 10th round. That's when I start contemplating. I start looking at quarterbacks. Yeah, a lot of guys go up and they go get Aaron. They go get Tom. They go get these other quarterbacks, and it's not worth it when there's so much more talent there.
Especially, you saw that last year with people overdrafting Newton. Cam Newton did terrible last year.
Right.
I mean, from a fantasy perspective especially. And people were taking him. I saw some people taking him in the first and second round.
It's there were people that were taking him in the first round, and that was normal. Right.
And it was just like, oh my God, like, what happened to those people? Those people must be fucked.
Yeah, the crazy thing about that year that Cam Newton took them to the Super Bowl, I believe it was around the 10th game of the season, Cam Newton had almost the same exact numbers as Colin Kaepernick, yet Cam Newton was getting talked as the MVP, and Colin Kaepernick was getting talked about saying he was one of the worst quarterbacks in the league at that point. And that's why, like, the numbers are so skewed, and it's crazy how that can be viewed that way, of him being of MVP and then the other side, him being so bad. I think Cam takes a step forward this year, just a little bit better than last year, but I don't think he's going to be on that MVP caliber like it was.
Right.
All right, so this last segment, let's break down a little bit of the fantasy. Give me a number one target for you at quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end.
At quarterback, I'm going to sound a little bit weird. There's two quarterbacks that I really want. One, I really want Derek Carr. Obviously, you know, you want Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and people, but I'm not going to try to draft them. I want Derek Carr. I think if you can get him somewhere reasonable, then that'll help. But a person you can maybe be able to get in the middle rounds, so a little before that, I'm really excited to see what Kirk can do this year. I am pumped to see what Kirk Cousins can do. Kirk has just put up stats the last few years, man. I expect him to put up almost as many passing yards, more touchdowns, hopefully cuts the interceptions a little bit. So I do like Kirk. Running backs, of course, I'm really, really excited to see what David Johnson can do this year. So I don't know. It's weird. I'm also excited as a bounce back wide receiver to see DeAndre Hopkins.
Right.
I think it'll be super exciting, especially if Deshaun Watson can play anywhere, just as close to a starting quarterback in the NFL, what he can do, especially now that what's-his-face is out, that'll be – Wolf is out. That could be huge.
For me, quarterback, late rounds, I've already talked about it. I like taking quarterbacks in the later rounds. Guy I've targeted, which a guy I love in fantasy, is Phillip Rivers. He is a concept pro. He gets the ball out of his hands fast. He's very accurate with the football. Doesn't matter what wide receiver you put in front of him, the guy's going to put up fantastic numbers for you in fantasy. He's always underrated in fantasy. The running backs for me, it's in the top half, that second round, around there, the mid-second round, is Lamar Miller. I talked about before, Bill O'Brien, that rushing attack, not trusting Tom Savage and Deshaun Watson, pounding that rock. I think Lamar Miller is going to have a lot of upside this year. And then for wide receiver, I know I've already kind of talked about it, but is Jameson Crowder. I love J-Mo. J-Mo is a guy who is a PPR format perfect slot wide receiver. He's perfect for your flex there. If he's your number two wideout, it's not going to kill you, but generally that shouldn't be your second wideout if you're drafting well. But him in the slot there, in the flex position for you, he's going to put up massive numbers, especially with those two towers on the outside. A tight end that I am really high on that is going undrafted at times is OJ Howard out of Tampa.
He's been going undrafted at times? Really?
Yeah.
Damn, but yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about him so far. OJ Howard is just a freak. I'm excited to see what he can do. I'm really excited. I'm excited for the season with the Buccaneers. I think that starts in a week or two. I can't wait for that, man. They have some characters on that team, and OJ Howard is somebody I'm super excited for.
The one thing that scares me about Tampa is that they're on Hard Knocks. You know, they always say that the teams are on Hard Knocks. They always live down to their potential. They don't do as well. But I just feel like there's something about this Tampa team that people aren't talking about enough. I mean, they have legit ballers at every position.
They're a very good team, especially I've always been a big Jameis guy. And I don't know. They have so many pass catchers down there, and their defense is improved. I mean, Vernon Hargraves is going to be a stud. They got a lot of pieces out there in Tampa, and I'm really excited. And especially, I mean, just to see them on Hard Knocks, just because they're so full of characters. Now getting Chris Baker and DeSean Jackson and Jameis, of course. We know how he is. Mm-hmm. And I'm super pumped about that. I can't wait to see them.
And one defense is going underrated. Is I would already say Tampa. That's a defense that's underrated that you can go get. You can let people go up and get Seattle. Let people go up and get the Panthers and the Cardinals.
Denver,
let them go. Them go do that. You go get Tampa, and honestly, I don't want you to overdraft it, but if they fall back to you, you've already have your lineup set up. You got your backup wideouts, your backup QB, and everything. Go get New England's defense if they're still there. New England's defense is going to be a turnover machine.
Right. Also, the Chargers.
Yes.
Chargers could be very good defense this year.
That's very true. I believe, did Casey Hayward get injured this week? I thought I saw something about that.
I'm pretty sure that they've been bad if he did, if that's the case. Yeah. For Joey Bosa, seeing what Joey Bosa can do with an actual offseason, right. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And I always group up my kicker with try to do it with my quarterback. Just because if your quarterback, let's say your quarterback drives down the field, you want those points if he doesn't get a touchdown. So you want those points. You want those points back to you. Generally, try to stick your kicker with your quarterback. That's the best thing you can do. Don't overdraft him. Don't do him in the 16th. Wait till the 17th. Just go get the kicker. Nobody cares about kickers, honestly.
Right. Yeah. Kickers are very interesting. They're not even real people.
Well, to wrap up the show, let me get a couple things from you. What you want to see at the Redskins training camp until the next preseason game, until the first preseason game next week? What would you like to see?
I would really like to see how this defensive line plays. I know that we really can't really see it until preseason. So the defensive line and just how comfortable Kirk Cousins continues to get with Terrell Pryor and Josh Doctson. That's going to be huge.
Now, I want to continue to see the defense being very vocal and communicative. I want to see them do well with that. I want to see them still being loud. I want them to have that cockiness. Not the cockiness that they think too much of themselves, but the cockiness and that swagger. That's what we need on that defense. We need that swagger. We need that good feeling about us. Because Josh Norman was the only one on that defense last year, besides Chris Baker, that had that swagger. And I want that to be infectious. I want everyone to feel that. I want them to be pissed off when they're getting a ball ran down their throat for 5 yards a pop and then allowing the offense to do whatever they want. I want guys to get pissed off because they know they are better than that. That's what I want to see this week. I want to see them continuing to have that swagger and to have that intensity to talk to each other and have that at all times.
Right. I agree. So do I. I'm excited for this remainder of training camp.
All right, buddy. Well, you go enjoy your vacation. Do you have any parting thoughts before we sign off?
Yeah, I didn't really kill that girl. First,
that's what they all say, Mike.
I know. We all say that, all of us. Also, we'll be back next week. We're going to have to we should do Thursday because Thursday's the day that I'm coming home. And okay. I'll be back in the evening.
Okay.
So I can just come there and we can get that going. And other than that, I'm just if anybody comes up to Ocean City or Bethany or Dewey area, let me know so we can go party.
Yeah, party, meaning smoking cigarettes in your screened-in porch. Yeah, party.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah. Party it hard.
All right, everybody. Well, you have a good rest of your vacation. Don't do anything stupid. Be safe. Have a good time. Tell the family I said what's up.
I will.
All right, brother.
Sugar plum. All right, man. I'll see you. Enjoy the night.
Redskins football. Woo!
Woo!